Thank you very much, Crystal. Very well done. It is well worth my story. If you know the story behind that, it's a tremendous, tremendous story of faith and belief in God that he was in control of everything. This man lost his family from a shipwreck and so forth. So if you ever get a chance, look up It Is Well With My Soul, the story behind that, and you'll be blessed by the faith of a man who poured it all out to the Lord. All right. This morning, we're looking at Matthew chapter 10. Okay. Technology is not working this morning, so we'll move on without it, okay? All right. Now, this morning, the title is Christ's Workers Rewarded. Now, if you're a child of God, we're all workers, right? We're all ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And trying to give you a summary of chapter 10. It's broken up in four parts, but I'll be sharing the last three verses. Now, when you look at verse 5, the latter part of verse 5, all the way through verse 42, Jesus is speaking. So your letters in your Bible might be red. Mine all black because my Bible is different than normal Bibles. But when you read the Bible, you know when Jesus is speaking, because it says, Jesus said, or truly, truly, I say unto you. Jesus' words are very important right here because he's given the disciples instructions. First of all, as we look in chapter 10, verse 1, the 12 disciples are present, and Jesus is giving them instructions for the service that they will be doing or the ministry they'll be doing. Look at verse 1. It says, Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. He gave them authority. We have authority from on high as well to be his witnesses. And wherever we go, he will be before us preparing the way by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then when you come down to verse 16, he's given them a note of, and that, hey, it's going to be a hard road for you. If you follow me, it's going to be tough at times. Because he said in verse 16, Matthew chapter 10, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. And that is very true. There's a lot of wolves in this world, and Satan's always behind that. So, be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. They told us in Bible college that pastors are to have the hide of a rhinoceros and the spirit of a dove. So that kind of matches up here. So, and you figure that one out, okay? The hide of a rhinoceros and the spirit of a dove. But here it says we are to be innocent as doves. And then in verse 24, he gives the meaning of discipleship. See, Jesus doesn't commission us or tell us to do something unless there's a meaning and a purpose in his will behind it. And in verse 24, it says, a disciple is not above his teacher or a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like a teacher and a slave like a master if they have called the head of the house of Belshazzar. How much more will they, Megan, with the members of the household. So here we see the meaning of discipleship, and you can read this chapter this afternoon. I'm just highlighting it right now. And now we come to the rewards of being a servant or a minister of the Lord. And follow along with me as we begin. Well, it's... Oh, there we go. Well, too many times. Just... there we go. Okay, verse 40. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Who sent Jesus? The Father. He who receives the prophets in the name of a prophet shall receive prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive the righteous man's reward. And verse 42, and whoever in the name of the disciple gives to one of these little ones, talking about children, even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. So, the gospel will not only find those who oppose it, but those who assist it. And that's what Jesus is talking about right here in Matthew. In Matthew, the writer of this particular book. So Jesus now turns and gives three sayings concerning those who receive and support the gospel. Now, if you go back and read verses 14 and 15, a while ago I kind of skipped over those, but if you go back there, those are refer to the three sayings concerning receiving and supporting those in the gospel or sharing and preaching the gospel. And as each one of us are ministers of the Lord, you know, we appreciate that, right? That we get that support as we are being assisted or if we assist someone else. You know, you can be a prayer partner or you can be a witnesser or you can be someone who is there to lend support and aid to someone that is sharing or preaching the gospel. When I was in Bible college and seminary, oftentimes when we took evangelism courses and so forth, they would send us out in twos, okay? And as we would go, we were told that, okay, you take time about one witness, one pray. So I would be witnessing, someone else would be praying that went with me. So that was the support system. That was encouragement to me that I had my partner, the one witnessing with me, praying not only for me, but the one we was witnessing to and for the power of the Holy Spirit to work in our behalf. And the success was very, very good in doing that because we was planting a seed and we was doing what we are called to do as ministers, not because we're pastors or teachers or whatever, but because we are all ministers and God will bless that. Now, looking at verse 40 here, receiving acknowledgement extended. Okay, this section stresses that Jesus identifies himself as those who are on a mission with him. Now, you think about that. We're all on a mission with the Lord. He has given us instruction way back when he instructed the disciples, I'm going back to the Father. I completed the task that the Father sent me here to do. Now you have a greater work to do or accomplish. Now, we can't do greater things than Jesus, but he was saying you have a greater work because the work before you is not going to be that easy, okay? So it's going to be a great work. But guess what? I'm going to be with you. All authority on earth and in heaven is with you. And no authority can overpower the authority of Jesus Christ. And so that should be an encouragement to each one of us. It's an encouragement to me that knowing that we have the authority and no one can take that authority away from us. And because when Jesus commands or given a commandment or given us authority, he is the one in charge. He's the one in control. And he controls everything as through us as vessels. Now, it says, he who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. So, Jesus is talking about the Trinity here, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, all three are always active in our lives. You think about that. So, we've got three persons that is supporting us in our lives, giving us that authority. So you're not alone, right? You have someone right beside you, leading you, encouraging you, and teaching you God's ways and what you should say and what you should do. Jesus said, you know, you go and don't worry about what you take, what you wear, what you eat. He said, everything will be provided for you. I will speak through you because I am giving you all authority. So a striking aspect of this passage is Jesus' identification with his own. Now, we are reminded of Jesus' word to Saul on the Damascus Road. And I referred to this back a week or so ago about Saul's encounter with Jesus on the Damascus Road, where the Lord said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? In Acts chapter 9, verse 4. Here Jesus states that the person, and that would be Ananias, and Ananias was a type of person. He was a godly man. And God chose Ananias to minister, to be a worker on Christ's behalf to Saul, to minister to him, to because Saul had lost his sight because of the bright light that he saw and so forth. And so in the vision, not only did Paul see this, but Ananias did. And Jesus spoke to Ananias and said, you know, you take care of Ananias. And Ananias said back to Jesus, oh, wait a minute. I've heard some bad things about that man. I mean, it's come to me that, you know, he persecutes Christians and even killed them and so forth. And Jesus says, he's a changed man now. He's one of mine now. And he is going to suffer great for my sake. And that's exactly what Paul did, and all the disciples, and anyone who followed Jesus and is willing to be committed to the task that he calls us to. It's not always going to be an easy task, but because Jesus told him right here in verse 16 through 23, it's going to be a hard road, but it's going to be a rewarding. And that's what this whole chapter is talking about, these last three, about the rewards that being faithful in the Lord, not giving up, perseverance, being strong and steadfast. Because people, when they saw the disciples, even though they was unlearned, uneducated, they knew there was something different about them because they said they have been with the Lord. So when we spend time with the Lord in his word, in prayer, see, we are being empowered. We are being set apart. And we are doing ministry on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ for his sake, as Jesus told Ananias. So the ideal is that of a commissioned or authorized mission or messenger. So the mission was the father who, authorized it and sent his son to bring into being, who is in turn authorized to send disciples on behalf of the Father. Now, the promised blessing is that while the disciples are on the mission for Christ, those who receive them as Christ's messengers and representative receive Christ and his Father. So it's an effort, team effort of God working through his servants, his workers, his disciples, you and me, and they accept Christ as their Savior. So it's hard to even imagine receiving a greater blessing to see a person accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you know, and what a reward that would be. I can just see people lining up at Heaven's Gate when you get there. They say, thank you for sharing Christ with me. Thank you for showing me the way. Thank you for the words that you shared. If it hadn't been for your witness, I wouldn't be here in heaven today. And just imagine that. Just imagine that. The reward of just hearing those words, not counting the ones, the rewards we receive of being faithful. Now, those rewards are not for us to just to glorify ourselves with, but those rewards are given to us so we can lay them at the feet of Jesus, because he sacrificed all for us, right? We don't deserve anything, but we will be rewarded if we're faithful and we hang in there and be strong and persevere even through the hard times in this life. Now, when you look at the word receive, it comes from the context of extending hospitality or assistance to those proclaiming the gospel and in discipling believers. So, once we claim the name of Jesus, we need to be disciples. We need we start as novelists, or we start out as beginners, as the disciples, and then they became apostles because Jesus taught them the way. He instructed them, and they became apostles. They were no longer learners. So as we become new Christians, we get into the milk of the word, but we don't stay there. We get into the meat of the word. Now, how many of you just eat vegetables all the time with no meat, okay? The meat gives you the protein, right? Gives you the energy, and it gives you the drive the energy to persevere through the day. And the meat, the Word of God, the meat of the Word of God gives us the energy, the drive, and the wisdom to be able to share it with others. And if we just stay on the milk, we're still learning, okay? But when we get into the meat of the Word of the God, we've become ministers and teachers of the Word of God, and we are going to be rewarded for our faithfulness. Now, secondly here, recognize assistance rewarded. In verse 41, this verse indicates that anyone who supports missionaries and their work will be rewarded by God. And that's what it says right here. Again, he says, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Now, that sounds good, doesn't it? And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. Now, a prophet's reward is a blessing given by God to the one he has commissioned and sent as return for his labor. So, we labor, you work, and you get rewarded by a paycheck, right? Well, what can be better than be rewarded by God for a blessing that we did on His behalf because we love Jesus and we are faithful and we want to be obedient to His commands. And the name of the prophet represents the prophet's character, his integrity, his faithfulness, as well as his calling and commissioning and his position of service. So here, apostles were called prophets, for they were what I would call recipients and communicators of God's message. Now, to understand verse 41, you go back and read verse 27, where it talks about that whether it's in the darkness, you preach the light. And whatever situation you're in, you still preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why they were called prophets and apostles of Jesus Christ. So, the motive for us assisting a Christian worker is because our love for Christ. Okay? If you love someone with your heart, mind, and soul, you're going to do all you can for them, right? You would do that for your spouse, you would do that for your children, you would do that for your friend, or whatever. And we who love Christ, who died for our sins, should motivate us to do whatever the calling or whatever, however, He commissions us to do in our life while we're here on this earth, which is only a short time. But think about eternity, the rewards of our labor, our work. You know, Revelation tells us in Revelation 14, 13, it says that even though when we are laid to rest, when we are placed in the grave, the old fleshly body, our spirit goes with the Lord, He says, our works will go on. We are placed, but everything that we've labored and done in the name of Christ, the works will follow. Even after we departed this world. You think about that. So the influences and the difference that you have made in this world for the cause of Christ will carry on. You may never see the work that you do in this life for Christ, but the people who are here and you witness to and you talk to and you helped along the way will get the benefits, and you'll get the what? Reward. Now, that's what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew chapter 10. Okay, now, talking about teamwork, I was talking about teamwork a while ago. We're a team, right? We, here at Versailles Baptist Church, we're a team. We're part of the body of Christ. We're one body, but many members. So that makes us a team. So we are a team, and our supporting players are participants with the lead players. Now, Helen Keller, you've heard of her, haven't you? She once said, alone we can do so little. Together we can do so much. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? It sure does. So it takes more than missionaries to accomplish Jesus' mission. The missionaries will receive equivalent reward. So the whole community of faith must be involved. You know, we can't do it alone. And that's why we work as a team, supporting and praying and encouraging along the way. And then thirdly, verse 42. Rendered service rewarded. In the last verse, Jesus, this verse, of this section, or I call it a discourse, our discussion is Jesus is talking our way through this particular chapter, and in verse 42, he ends and enforces what was just stated in verses 40 and 41. It's reemphasized and it's restated in a way for clarification for the disciples and for us today. So, he says, "And whosoever in the name of the disciple gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water," just a simple cup of cold water, think about it, "truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward." So it don't have to be a big thing that we do for the cause of Christ. It's so little things sometimes that is appreciated that has big term benefits and rewards. So the little ones is a term of affection because they are precious to Christ. Children are precious to Christ. In Psalms it says they are a gift from God. So Jesus said, "Do not hinder the little children to come unto me." Why is that? Because their hearts are tender and they're willing to listen. They're willing to do what they are asked to do. And we as adults, we should be like little children, not be children, but in the likeness of children when it comes to our obedience to the Lord. So the act of unselfish service illustrated by giving a cup of cold water is motivated, again, as I said a few minutes ago, by your and my love for Christ. That's what should motivate us. Our love for Christ. His love for us. Very simple. So our love for Jesus can be seen in how we treat and minister to those that can't return the favor. So we're not doing it to get something back. We're doing it because of the love of Christ in our heart. So Jesus has already stated the disciples are valued to the Father. You and I are valued to the Father. And want to read about that? Look at verses 29 through 31, and you will see how much you and I are valued to the Father. And His watch and care extends to reward those who care for others' needs. Reminds me of a story about a lady who was hiking out in Colorado. And she lost her shoe. She was crossing this creek bed, and her shoe got stuck in the mud, and it pulled it off. Oh, actually, it was a boot. And it pulled it off. And then to be able to try to finish the course through the mountains and so forth and terrain, she got some green figs and she weaved them up and then tied a cloth around her foot to keep the figs on. And she was hobbling along and she stopped to rest because her foot was bothering her. And this other hiker came through and saw what was taking place. And she said, "Oh, I feel so sorry for you. Why don't you take my sandal and put it on your foot, and when you get home, you can mail it back to me." She said, "Oh, thank you so much." She said, "You don't know how many people has passed me by and saw my predicament, and they just went on." She said, "Thank you so much." Within a week, she got the hiker who helped the lady that was hobbling along. She got her sandal back through the mail. And she said, "Thank you so much. It was much appreciated. You are the only one that stopped to lend me a hand. Thank you so much for giving me or lending me your sandal. God bless you." You see what just something like that can mean to a person that's in need and so forth. So when we think about that, you know, real love takes action. Real love takes action. The real love that Jesus took action on when he went to the cross, that was real love. When Jesus said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, could we say that with love? Forgive anyone who offends us or mistreats us or whatever? Can we say, "Oh, I love you anyway"? Yeah. Jesus did that on the cross. In John chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "Let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." In truth. The truth of Jesus Christ. So on the trail of life, when we meet a hobbler or someone in despair, someone that got a bad foot or a bad knee or something that can't walk, let us offer a sandal in love or support or something in love. See, you may give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Is that true? I believe it is. Now, in conclusion, the mission the Father has sent us on is to reveal the brightness, the wonder, and the goodness of Christ's glory by manifesting his character, his love to mankind. Awesome responsibility, but it's a rewarding responsibility. Now, we all may not be God's called out, but we can all give assistance to those who proclaim his message and to the ones who God worked, and therefore share in the same blessing as reward with wonderful words of life. The wonderful words of life that has been printed in these pages, and maybe they're right here in your mind, and they have rested in your heart, but you have them. They're wonderful words of life that we can give to someone else that we have learned from the Word of God, and we've been inspired by the Holy Spirit to share with others. Now, in heaven and on earth, we will get just as much of God as we can hold. We will. We'll get just as much as we can hold. And the capacity for receiving God in heaven and on earth is determined by the exchange of this world for the next world, the things that we have done. But when we have emptied ourselves of this world, then we have lost our life ambitions here to find life and ambitions there in heaven. Then God can fill our lives when we do that. When we empty ourselves of this world, he will fill us with the things in heaven, our lives. When you think about it, it's worthwhile, isn't it? What Jesus is saying here to disciples and to us. What a reward. Just knowing Jesus Christ as my personal Savior is enough for me without the rewards. Because he died for me personally and you personally and the whole world personally. God is a personal Savior, and he loves you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your message. We thank you, Lord, that you inspire us through your word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through our relationship with you, And Lord, it's a privilege and it's an honor to be your servant, to be called a child of God. And Lord, we thank you for the responsibilities with anticipation that as you have given us authority and as you have told the disciples and as we read and as we study, that we are given the power to witness, to share love, to make a difference in this world, to work as a team, to be the body of Christ. And Lord, we thank you for your saving grace. We thank you, Lord, that in spite of our shortcomings, and that's what the scripture said, we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God, because of your righteousness, and you reconcile us to you through Jesus Christ, and you seal us with the Holy Spirit, we're yours forever. If there's anyone here this morning and anyone listening that don't know you personally, Lord, your invitation is open to them. It's open to all of us to make a revision in our life or whatever the shortcomings or sins in our life. You're willing to forgive. All we got to do is confess and repent. It's just as easy as that. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And whoever calls upon the Lord will be forgiven as well as Christians. Whatever category we fit in, or wherever we are in our life, you'll meet us right there unconditionally. And we thank you for that. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is Jesus, I Come. Let us stand as we sing. I'll be here at the front to receive you, talk to you, pray with you. Whatever God is leading, do right now, you come as we sing.